I'm delighted to say, though, that already in set is our guest. Joining us today, very aptly, with everything going on with Spanish football at the moment, is a man who we pretty much love having on World Football Daily. Whenever we can, we stretch out the arm, and we're lucky enough to have him grasping it and pulling us out of the murky waters of transfer rumours and managerial moves in Spain. It is Mr. Graham Hunter joining us on the line today. Graham, how are you today, mate?
Well, I'm ready to grasp, baby. I'm ready to grasp.
Thanks so much for reaching out and grabbing us today, especially on this day when Barcelona announcing Tito Villanova's replacement. Before we have a talk about Gerardo Martino, I want to talk to you about the news that broke on Friday of Tito stepping down from as Barcelona manager. How much did Barcelona know this was coming? How much were they able to preempt this coming? Or was this a massive shock to the club?
Answers, because they didn't know that it would be last week when the specialist's report told Tito Villanova that he needed surgery again. My understanding, and I want to be delicate about this because they've been guarded about exactly how much information is passed out, and Tito Villanova has asked for respect and privacy, so let's give him that. But what we know factually is that there's going to be some surgical work. I interpret from the briefings that have been available that there's perhaps not been a dramatic decline in Tito's well-being, but what there was an immediate need for continuous treatment, which would leave him unable to be Barcelona coach. And the way to answer your question, Ollie, is that they were prepared. Last season, after Pep had left and Tito was in full charge, I remember very clearly that the first half of the season wasn't just record-breaking and extremely good fun to watch for the neutral, because the quality of football had come right back again, and they were, you know, they won every single league game except for 2-2 home draw against Real Madrid to set a record for a half season, and it was tremendous. And it was just as that half season drew to a close, it was so ironic. It was 19th December that the news broke that Tito was unwell again, and that came as a total shock to the club, and Jordi Roura was asked to step in, and it was something that Jordi wasn't really looking for. And I think that eventually, although it took a long time for the players to admit it, on a day-to-day basis, there's nothing wrong with Jordi Roura's understanding of football or the way in which he asked the players to perform in given matches. But just that intensity of the boss is here, and the boss is asking us to do X, Y, and Z. If you draw up a millimetre or two at the very, very highest level, you begin to notice it. And I think that was something that hurt Barcelona last season. And therefore, they had a game plan. It is, nobody should be under the misapprehension, Ollie, that because the news reached Barcelona's executives late on Thursday and then was released to the media late on Friday night, that it's been since then till now that Gerardo Martino has been sought and appointed. It's very evident that they had thought of what if Tito's not well again. It's increasingly evident that Gerardo Martino was made aware that until he took a job, he would be a leading candidate. He was in the frame at the beginning of the summer for the Real Sociedad job potentially, and my interpretation is that he has chosen to be on standby for the scenario whereby even in 4, 6, 8 months Tito Villanova found the need to resume treatment, just in case. That's a personal choice that any manager can make and say, I'm willing to wait and stand by because the prize is so big. And I think that, therefore, total shock, no. Relatively prepared for the scenario, yes. And in theory, they've gone through a healthy process of weighing up Tata Martino against Luis Enrique, who was the legendary, I keep making the Roy Keane comparison, but he had the same effect on the Barcelona side, Luis Enrique, as Roy Keane did on the best of the United eras after moving from Real Madrid and therefore making himself a double legend at the Camp Nou, leaving Los Blancos and being one of the great modern players at Barcelona. He's a Celta Vigo coach. He's recently taken the job. Tata Martino's case was weighed up against Luis Enrique, and they came to the decision that it was time to move for the Argentinian, and that's why tonight in Argentina he'll be speaking about his willingness to take the job. And Barcelona confirmed the formal contract of 3 years this morning in Europe, this Tuesday morning in Europe.
And there was talk as well, speculation yesterday about Gus Hiddink as well potentially taking this. What stood out though, and put Gerardo Martino ahead of everybody else who potentially could have taken this job? Because as you say, I mean, he's been willing to wait for this job potentially to arise, and I think there are a number of managers around the world that would walk out of any job to be in charge of this Barcelona squad right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on that latter point, and I think that what makes him stand out needs to be qualified by the admission that this president of Barcelona, Sandro Rosell, likes the... He likes somebody who likes drinking wine without having to squash the grapes. He's a fan, Rosell, of standing up as president at Wembley and seeing his team lift the Champions League trophy after one of the great European Cup finals of all time, 2011. He loved that. Barcelona were playing a brand of football which was the epitome of all years of development that began with Johan Cruyff. They were coached by Pep Guardiola, who's his greatest teacher, not his only teacher, but his most significant maestro was Johan Cruyff. Now, Sandro Rosell, the president of Barcelona, really cannot stand Johan Cruyff and what he represents. That's something that has become abundantly clear over 8 or 9 years. Each man treats the other like cat and dog. And therefore, what Rosell wanted, and this was a delicate task, was to reproduce the best of exactly that football. The era of particularly 2008-09 and 2010-11, when under Guardiola, the nursery system which produced fantastic, one-touch, intelligent, brave, attacking footballers, won trophies galore, was very hard to play against, and that's something that they've lost a little bit, Ollie, the ability to press energetically and accurately and aggressively and to win the ball back. And one of the things that I know we're in this station, we're determined not to get lost in the mists of time, is that when Barcelona were at their very best under Guardiola, it wasn't simply what they did with the ball, but when they didn't have the ball, how quickly they ripped it off an opponent and then did something intelligent with it. Now, that's something that Rosell has gone looking for, and he thinks that Gerardo Martino, although if you wanted to take a clutch of the most arid Paraguay games, when Paraguay perhaps are playing against a rival of greater skill or greater projection, a greater danger than them, that, you know, their games can look a little bit arid. But Martino is an attacking coach by philosophy. What happens is he drills his teams to be very good at pressing, to be very organized, to have a little bit more defensive rigor than we saw at Barcelona last season. Let me throw in again that although, you know, it was upsetting to see Tito Villanova leaving, it, objectively, as a good, decent, articulate football man, I wanted him to stay and realize his own personal dream at the club that, you know, he loves. Nonetheless, it remains a fact that last season they conceded twice as many goals as in any two of the previous five seasons, and therefore Martino's defensive rigour won't go amiss at the Camp Nou, won't go amiss at Barcelona on the road either. So effectively what the president's trying to do is replicate some of the Guardiola era without dipping into the reservoir of candidates that come from the Cruyff School. Rijkaard, Guardiola, Villanova were three appointments from the Cruyff School. Rijkaard was recommended by Cruyff and trained under Cruyff at Ajax, that took us from 2003 to 2013. And therefore, the decade that has gone by, Rosell wanted to replicate things from, but not via the same route.
Now, with Martino coming in, it's another new manager, as we've said, in 2 years, with Guardiola going, Villanova going, and now Martino coming in. Do you think this has an effect on the squad right now? We've obviously seen Manchester United very interested in Cesc Fabregas. Does this help maybe push some players out of the door slightly? Does everything, because this has been prepared so well by Barcelona for this possible eventuality, is everything just going to be, do you think, smooth sailing? It's obviously a difficult hypothetical question to ask, Graham, but I'm just wondering your thoughts on it.
Well, I would only answer depending on what you exactly mean. Because I think if you mean, is it likely to increase Manchester United's chances of getting Cesc Fabregas, then I would say no. I think it will have either no effect or indeed a negative effect on United's chances, which I already thought were very, very low. If you mean that, is it feasible that we might begin to see some players at Barcelona feature a little bit less, then I would have thought, yes, that could be so. There is no question that one of the two things that corrode the pressing game, which Barcelona had perfected, are either lack of desire or age. And one of those you can fight and one of those you can't really. And the intensity of the pressing game that existed in the early years of Guardiola and which Martino will try to introduce might be a test for some. And therefore, as the months go by, I think that a more judicious use of Xavi may become imperative. Do I think that any players will be leaving in disgust, if that's what you're hinting at? Then, no, I don't think so. And while I think there's been mischief about, you know, this being a Leo Messi appointment, Messi is a declared fan of this guy, born in the same small city, Rosario, as Messi was, and a coach of Newell's Old Boys, effectively, is the team which is buried most deeply in Leo Messi's heart. It's a team he grew up supporting, it's a team he wanted to play for, it's a team his dad took him to the stadium to watch Diego Maradona play on the handful of occasions when the great man was turning up for Messi's favourite team, favourite club. Now, Tata Martino has recently been very successful with Newell's, left Newell's to a fantastic, climactic ovation from the fans outside his house. And therefore, you know, it will be a shock if Messi isn't very pleased with this appointment and doesn't respond to this appointment. And usually that's your thermometer. If your great players are used well and are pleased by the coach's work ethic. And this is also a bunch, Ollie, that we no longer get to see day-by-day training as openly as we used to. The media and the fans almost never, ever see it. But what I know from the open training I do watch at Barcelona and did watch previously when it was far more available and with Spain, is that this is a bunch of players who love to work and love to work hard. Their motto is that they work brutally hard on a weekday, so they enjoy their football on a weekend. And if Martino is going to introduce a certain extra degree of rigour and intensity, then rather than forcing people out the door or making certain players less happy with life at the Camp Nou, I view him as actually increasing that job satisfaction.
It's going to be very interesting to see the impact that Martino has on this Barcelona side, and he's got at least a fair bit of time to get himself sorted with his new squad as they prepare for the start of the new season. A side that's impressing, always impresses, of course, is Real Madrid. But Graham, at the moment in the Spanish press, everyone is talking about Isco, that performance, how well he connected with players. It was only against Bournemouth here in the UK in a 6-0 win for Real Madrid, but still, everybody saying how impressed they are by Isco and how quickly he's fitting into this Real Madrid style. It's going very smoothly for Ancelotti at the moment, is it not?
Yeah, I think it definitely is going relatively smoothly, in that the summer started appallingly badly. You know, great clubs, big clubs, need to be ahead of the game at all times. And weeks went by when Real Madrid couldn't prize Ancelotti out of Paris Saint-Germain. And that can have a great impact on transfer market activity, fitness planning, what kind of schedule will be drawn up individually for players who start in the middle of June, and those who start in the middle of July, those who start in late July, because you have players coming back from injury, you've got players who've got holidays on a regular time scale, and you've got those who were playing with Spain in the Confederations Cup final, and therefore, having a manager in position, Ollie, is extremely important, and they didn't. So from the point Ancelotti takes over to now, I think it's been Real Madrid managed as elegantly and efficiently as I can remember. And the purchases, I think, have been superb. Carvajal was at right back, was long flagged up. And if the improvement he showed at Leverkusen, where he won Player of the Year, continues, then not only do Real Madrid have got suddenly intense competition for Alvaro Arbeloa's position, but that will emerge as a right good fight between now and the World Cup between Montoya, Arbeloa and Carvajal, to the detriment, I think, of Juanfran. But the ones you've talked about, in particular Isco, I don't suppose, even if you set aside Bournemouth, and I wrote an article for the programme for that match, and you know, I was thrilled about that club having such fun, such elegance, having Zidane in their stadium. I think that's something that, irrespective of the result, and irrespective of the fact that Isco is a little genius, you know, to have Ancelotti and Zidane sitting on your bench is something that, you know, kids and old men will remember for the rest of their lives. But Isco is a 24-carat gem. He's just an unbelievably talented young footballer. The fact that Real Madrid, under great pressure from Zidane to the president, paid something like €7.5 million more than Manchester City were offering just to seal the deal, hammer it down, make sure there was no comeback from the English club, tells you what a special guy this is. That Zidane says to the president, "President, under no circumstances can we lose this fella." That tells you something special. And he's a footballer who will bring joy to Barcelona fans, to Atletico Madrid fans. They will not be able to resist appreciating this guy, irrespective of him playing with a white shirt on, because he's a gem. One who might be a slightly, and I emphasise slightly more acquired taste, is Iarra Mendy, the midfield organiser brought from Real Sociedad. And suddenly, the middle of the pitch for Real Madrid, having looked just a little bit bare, is nicely competitive, because at the moment, at least, there's Modric, there's Casemiro, the Brazilian who they've bought. They had him on loan last season. He was mostly Barca B, but he'll be brought through. Xabi Alonso recovering from his groin surgery. Khedira, who last season I thought came on immensely under Mourinho's tutelage. And Iarra Mendy, who is out of nowhere the golden boy of Spanish football, because there is a feeling that Madrid have bought their Busquets. There are differences in the two players, but that's the effect they expect to have on the squad. So right now, it's been a real pleasure to watch Madrid's development this summer, and hell, you have to expect that it's going to be equally as enjoyable to watch them play.
It's going to be a thoroughly entertaining title race indeed between Madrid and Barcelona, I'm sure, in this coming season. Just finally, Graham, a very last question, if that's all right. We've seen Napoli obviously taking Raul Albiol and Callejon as well from Real Madrid. Now it looks like Higuain could potentially be making that move to Napoli. With Higuain gone, does the need to get Gareth Bale, does that increase or decrease? Do they need to start looking at a striker, or do they need to make this push to bring in Bale from Tottenham?
Well, that's a complicated question. First of all, Napoli do want Higuain, and whether they make the deal or not, the reason that Higuain is going is that he's pretty determined to leave. The reason Real Madrid allowed him to negotiate with Arsenal and set wages was that they effectively set a bit of a honey trap, which was allowing clubs to think that the player was not only available but gettable, and then hoisting up the price, because they are in the business of raising as much capital as possible so that they can pursue their determination to get Bale. Now, I don't think, and I suspect you were of the same opinion, I don't think that it's a direct comparison, Higuain-Bale. Bale is a project regarded as a separate strategy by Real Madrid. He's a new Galactico. He is, in their view, the outstanding young footballer available around the globe. He's somebody who patently scored over 20 goals last season for Spurs, and has his goal ratio has been stratospherically increasing year on year. But if they, to sell Higuain to raise cash doesn't mean that if they successfully buy Bale, they won't need another striker. They will. They most definitely will. Now, whether that is Morata, their own youth product, whether Benzema can hold down the goal-scoring duties sufficiently on his own. I think these things are open to debate. Bale, if signed, should add goals. But exactly where does he play? At whose expense? I think these are interesting questions. I think that it would need to be an extraordinary price paid because Daniel Levy is one of the toughest negotiators in Europe, and Bale has told both Andre Villas Boas and Levy that at the moment he's willing to stay. So it's going to take Real Madrid possibly equaling world transfer records for this young fella. As a UK-born journalist living in Spain, I'd love to see it. I'd love to find out whether Bale would thrive, and I think and I hope he would. Whether it's going to happen or not, I think he's in the hands of exactly how crazy Madrid are willing to go on their Galactico budget. And if they did sign him, I think then you might see them needing to sell elsewhere in the team to raise enough extra cash to add another striker.
It will be very, as I say, there's so many questions still this summer, Graham, surrounding the big two. We will get into, obviously, elsewhere in Spanish football with you, I hope, before the season starts as well. But for now, Graham, thank you so much for your time and for, of course, your words that you bring to World Football Daily. And we look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed, my man.
It's a pleasure. Enjoy your football.
You too. Graham Hunter there joining us here on World Football Daily, the world's leading Spanish journalist, in our opinion, here on World Football Daily. Just an extraordinary writer, extraordinary broadcaster, an extraordinary man. And it's our pleasure to have him on World Football Daily here on the show. Graham talking about all things Real Madrid and Barcelona. It is Gerardo Martino, the man who is at Barcelona now. He is in charge, the friend of Lionel Messi.